Okay, good evening, everyone. It is 5:16 on Monday, April 17th. We're just a little bit behind schedule, but I'd like to officially welcome everyone and call the meeting to order. We're going to go ahead and stand for the pledge and our ethics song. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Ms. M, Epic Spot.
The Epic Spot, I really like this one. I hope I haven't used it before. It is from Dr. Candler's list of enough for my lifetime of Epic Spots. Woodrow Wilson, the bulk of mankind is rigidly unphilosophical, and nowadays the bulk of mankind votes.
You can't use it ever.
Yes. I have. Yes. I love it, though.
It was a good refresher. We'll take it. Yes. Thank you so much for that. We're going to deviate just slightly from the order, and we have the famous Mr. Matt Carlucci in our presence today, State Chair for the State Ethics Commission. So excited to have him and hear from him. So I'm actually going to allow him to speak before we jump into the business for the night, if everyone's okay with that. All right. Mr. Carlucci, welcome.
Well, I'm going to take the famous because I haven't been called that in a long time. I've been called a lot of other things, but I ain't called that. I've been called that, so I'll take you up on it. I'm here to ask for perhaps some help if the commission sees fit. And I asked Carla if I could come and speak with this group tonight, and because there's an issue in Tallahassee of little note, but of actually what I think is a big concern. And so when I say little note, nobody knows what's going on, but I do. And I know that we all sit here for one purpose. You wouldn't have taken this appointment if you didn't care about good government, okay? So that's something that we all share. And we may not all agree on all issues, and you may not agree with me on this issue, but I'm hoping that you do. And because this Friday we have a meeting, and I've called a workshop on it. And I'm not sure if not the best way for me to... By the way, I made 10 copies of this, of what the issue is, and I thought maybe we could pass around.
Sure.
And the nice lady at the desk there said that she would make them for me. I couldn't tell anybody because I think she's on a limited budget.
Thank you.
Is there enough to get around there?
Does everyone have
one? I know your time is precious to you, but I kind of have to, and I teased about not being an attorney because there's times I wish I was an attorney, and there's times I'm glad I'm not an attorney. But to make a long story short, House Speaker Rich Corcoran and the Senate President Joe Negron issued a memorandum. And when I caught this memorandum, it took me a little while to figure it out. And then I said, I don't like it. And I'll tell you why I don't like it. And what it says is the following, up above here, this first section, mm-hmm. That's kind of always been in play. Mm-hmm. What it basically says is the Ethics Commission can do certain things as long as we remain in budget. But then they came along, and this is not law. This is not something that's been voted on. This is just a directive. And they call them a delegation, but I call it a directive. It's a directive from the leadership of the House and the Senate to our commission and our general counsel, saying that the following actions shall require Senate and House approval: hiring, termination, promotion, pay increases, bonuses of commission employees, out-of-state travel of all commission employees. The third one, I don't know too much about, and I'm not sure I really care that much about that one. I'm not sure I care too much about the expenditure of carry-forward funds. I don't care about that. But this one I do. They want to control if we were to ever change our office space. Okay. So in personal leave and so on, I mean, it's almost like a micromanagement. So I'm gonna read to you what I've written out to somebody else. So I may fumble through this, but I think if I can read through this, it'll express what my concern is. And then after that, Carla may need to weigh in on a few things. And then Madam Chair, bottom line, I would love to walk out of here with some support of what my concerns are. Because this meeting is this Friday. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for the opportunity to express my opinion. And it's important to note that this is just my opinion at this time. And I am no means speaking for the Florida Commission as a whole right now. I'm not doing that. But that's why I called for a workshop on this issue at our April 21st meeting this Friday. But nonetheless, as chairperson, I believe there are times I need to speak up on certain issues. And this is one of them. So with that said, here is some of the background and thoughts. There are various entities in the legislative branch. The commission is in the legislative branch, but it's different from the other entities. The commission was created by general law and acquired independent status and constitutional status in 1976. Well, that's different. When you're in the Constitution and you have independence declared in the Constitution, that's like, Constitution of Florida, as I understand it, sort of like the charter is to the city of Jacksonville. And there's certain things that if you get it in a charter, it's hard to change. And so we are not a creation of the House and the Senate. I mean, they may have passed legislation for us, but it wasn't. It was because because of the Constitution mandate. Nor do its members, nor do the members like I serve at the pleasure of the House and Senate. According to our executive director, Valendia Doss, the commission first started receiving these delegations of authority, mm-hmm. or directives of authority, from the presiding officers, the Senate President, House Speaker, regardless of who they were over the past years, for probably since back in 1998. These are not laws, and they do not have to be voted on by the House or the Senate. They come from the Speaker and the President acting jointly. And they may be well intended by what they're trying to do here, to be diplomatic. But records suggest that there was some discussion between our staff and legislative staff about whether delegations were necessary or appropriate. And I think the concern was that while they might make sense for certain entities created by the House and the Senate, these divisions and directions and so forth, they weren't appropriate for the Florida Commission on Ethics, given that its authority came from the Florida Constitution and the law. Whatever objections over the years, though, that the commission has made must have been unpersuasive because the legislative leadership continues to send delegations whenever a new speaker and new president come into office. And over the years, the legislature keeps chipping away at the commission's independence. This year, they took a giant leap forward in their directives. And so that's the list that I've given you. Mm-hmm. As you know from what you've read, it includes hiring, firing, promotions, raises, bonuses, choice of office location. Bottom line, the legislature keeps restricting our authority, which, by the way, I'm not sure they have the power to do so in the first place via the independence we have called out in the Constitution. The commission has seen its ability to handle its own personnel actions as essential to our independence. This was an issue back in 1987 when the commission sued the legislature over this issue. And in 1987, Reuben Askew, who actually created and pushed through the constitutional amendment on the Sunshine Amendment, which the commission, Florida Commission on Ethics, is a part of that Sunshine Amendment, Ruben Askew spoke out in the commission's support of independence from such interference. So is our belief, my belief, given our independence made clear in the Constitution that we do not need to follow such delegations, although the executive director, our executive director, has always followed them traditionally. I mean, you pick your fights, right? Well, my goal is with the workshop we have on Friday is that the members of our commission in the state of Florida, Commission of Ethics, will agree with this assessment and have a vote to empower the commission to make these decisions needed as long as they're within budget. In other words, we make the decisions that they're trying to make for us. The Senate president and the House speaker want to limit what we can do. Mm-hmm. That's our job. That's the commission's job. That's not Verlinda's job, our executive director. It's our job to empower her to do that if we so see fit. So by the way, here is a practical worry. If the legislature continues to demand these controls and one of the commission's investigators and support staff are investigating a complaint against a member of the legislature or the Florida Senate, then that said investigator and support staff might feel a chilling effect investigating the very member of the legislative body that wants and or has control of their raises, promotions, mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm-hmm. And also, in addition, the legislature wants to approve our office location. A few years ago, the legislature was trying to require that we locate into a state building. Well, the commission, which, in my view, might send a signal to someone charged with a violation that the deck is stacked against them when they go visit the commission. Oh, you're going to go to the Claude Pepper building over there, you know, instead of a separate corporate office type setup. Well, thanks to then Speaker of the House, Will Weatherford, he agreed that we should have our own separate office location unattached from state ties. So we found a place that's kind of a South Point type of location, and that's where our office is located. So at the end of the day, you know, if I get to heaven and I plan to be there and I see Ruben Askew, I don't want him asking me why I let this continued erosion of independence happen on my watch without fighting it. So I'm fighting it. And I want the help that I can possibly get. So I come to you. This may be more than what you can make a decision on tonight. But what I'm looking for is if you agree with the importance of the independence of the Florida Ethics Commission, just like the Jacksonville Ethics Commission should be independent. And perhaps somebody might want to put you guys in the charter. You know? And you got a friend over there named Clay Yarbrough who helped finish up what I began. But that would give you all the independence too. It would be nice to have something from the Jacksonville Ethics Commission that I could take, and it can be an email or whatever, just as a show of support of other citizens who give of their time without compensation towards the goal of ethics and good government, and that's what I'm here for. And I say this, and this is not meant to sound like because I did this, I expect that. But there was a time when the legislature was trying to take away some of your abilities, some of your some of the benefits that you guys have that we don't have, like self-initiation. We don't have self-initiation.
Matt, you know what? You were going to bring that up, and I wanted to bring it up because I need to sing your praises, and you probably wouldn't do it. But there was a time about 3 years ago that he was talking about that the, as a result of the Palm Beach County situation, Senator Abruzzo was sponsoring legislation to just really have a chilling effect on local ethics commissions statewide. And so I called our member on the State Ethics Commission, Matt Curlidge, and I said, Matt, you know what they're trying to do at the state level? And he said, let me look into it. And then I called him the next morning to tell him that there was going to be a hearing. And he said, I'm in my car. I'm halfway to Tallahassee. I was so upset about what you told me they were trying to do with the local ethics commission that I got in my car at 5 o'clock this morning to go over and testify in front of that legislative committee. And he stood up there, and everybody knew Matt. And he said, and I'm here to say this isn't a good idea to limit the independence of the local ethics commissions. And he really fought for us. And that bill was defeated. And I thought, you're in your car, you got in your car at 5 o'clock in the morning, are you crazy? And so I appreciate your help with the Jacksonville independence. We are in the charter now, and we do have independence. But to see the state eroded, I think, is a scary proposition. I talked to the state ethics director, Valendia Das. If you take a look at your memorandum in the first sentence, the following authority is issued pursuant to policy 1.02. You wonder what that is. It's not a law. It's not a constitution. It's not anything. And policy 1.02 is the policies of the presiding officers. And they get together and they say, as president of the Senate and chair of the House, speaker of the House, we're going to come up with these rules. And so what they've done with these rules over the last 20 years is chip. And really, the time to have killed that would have been 20 years ago when they first came in. But what they did is they said, okay, we're going to take control here, and you can have all the powers you want. Okay, don't fight that. Next year, have all the powers you want. Then, well, how about if something over 50,000 needs to be approved? And so you first establish the authority over a long period of time, and then you start saying, and now we're going to decide who you hire, who you promote, what the raises are, and how did you get to that after 20 years?
And then these investigators, if I might add, Madam Chair, these investigators are, I mean, they work hard. I mean, they go all over the state. I mean, we investigate people that are notary publics all the way up to the governor. Okay, so we have it all. Mm-hmm. But we investigate a lot of cases that involve members of the House and the Senate. And for them to be controlling our payroll, promotions, bonuses, over the very people that would be in charge of such investigations, I just somebody said, well, why are you doing this now? Why wasn't this done 20 years ago? Well, you know, every chairman decides the way the pluses and the minuses, but this is probably the biggest. This is being recorded, but if they hear it, power grab that's been done in a long time. And it's micromanagement. And it's I don't know where are they going to find. Let's say that we have to get permission from them for out-of-town travel, and somebody we're investigating lives just over the Florida-Georgia line, which is not improbable with the fact of Tallahassee's location. Mm-hmm. And it's time sensitive. We've got the investigation. It's got to be complete within a couple of weeks or a week, and we've got to wait for them. And I will tell you, I've called the Speaker of the House. I called the Senate President over a week ago, maybe closer to 10 days. And I did get a call back from the Senate President's office. She was very nice. She said she understood. I said, when might I hear back from you? And she said, you'll hear back from me soon. Well, I hadn't heard anything back. And I don't know whether I will. I may get a call first thing in the morning. And if I do, great. And if they say, we decided to disband this, then, you know, we won't need a workshop. Mm-hmm. But the tough thing, this is what's going to be tough, and this is why, you know, any help I can get is important. I'm appointed by the governor. So, you know what? He's not the speaker. I mean, the people that appoint to this body are the Speaker of the House, the Senate President, and the governor. I was appointed by the governor, so, you know, and the governor, God bless him, he gives me great latitude. I mean, he's never called and said, don't do this, I want you to do that. Mm-hmm. And I have voted on things that he might not have liked, but I have to tell you, whatever you want to say about Governor Scott, he is for independent thinking, okay? And But these other members of the Florida Commission on Ethics, well, they were appointed by the speakers and the Senate President. So it's going to be a tougher decision for them, because if they vote, the vote that I want is that the commission is empowering, is to reiterate the commission's ability to empower our executive director to make these decisions as long as they're within budget. Mm-hmm. If they're over budget, that's another thing. But if they're within budget, that's somewhat of the kind of the vote that I'd like to see done. It's going to be tough on those members appointed by the Speaker and the Senate President. So when you're making a vote like that, any support that you can get from other bodies gives you cover, gives you help, and so forth.
Have they taken similar, provided similar delegation authority memos to other commissions? Has there been other commissions that have had problems and they like said, okay, we saw it here, we want to intervene here?
I don't know.
I asked that question of the chair, Rolandia Das, and I said, are there any other groups that this has happened to? And she said no, that all of the ones that are regulated by the legislature are truly under law, under the legislature, so they can regulate them. But the Ethics Commission was sort of brought in under the legislature because someone needed to process the payroll, someone needed to give them some structure with their budget, even though they're independent in the Constitution, mm-hmm. for administrative purposes. But they are the only independent body that was stuck under there and is now getting these directives. And I asked her that.
And we were put there by a vote of the people. Not a vote of the legislature. They may have created us after the people said that's what we want, a commission. You know, they may have voted to put together the body and to fund us, but they had to because the people said they had to. So anyway.
Another question. And the group of following actions require Senate and House approval. How many of these are new in this category this year versus prior years?
Every one of these are new. That's what caught my eye. I mean, when I first looked at them, I looked up here, and then when I looked down there, I was a little bit of a slow burn on this. It took me a little bit of time to figure out what was going on, and then when I figured out what was going on, I said, uh-uh, not under my watch. And I've only got two meetings left, so. I've had 5 years, usually get four, and the governor, God bless him, has been nice enough to give me five so I could be chair, or either he forgot to replace me, one of the two, not on my side. That's why when I saw these, I thought of our investigators in Tough. And I'm going to tell you, you see these folks come over there and get investigated. And the other thing is, if you've been charged for something, and you go to a state building, that's a little intimidating, I would think, as if you were going to just a regular corporate office, no state ties, because, there's a lot of, more people are found with no probable cause than found with probable cause. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not, just like y'all are not on a witch hunt. A lot of elected officials like to think you are, but you're not, and neither are we. But you want to make sure that the people that do get charged feel like they're coming on neutral turf, so to speak.
Thank you. First off, I just want to thank you for bringing this to our attention, because I had no idea prior to your coming today and you so eloquently stating your concerns. I want to give the other members of the commission opportunity to weigh in on this so that we can collectively reach a decision. I kind of have in my mind, I think, what I want to do, but before I share that, I'm interested in who I am from the body. So, does anybody have any feedback? Yes, sir.
Dr. I agree we should act on it.
Yes.
I'll make first a disclosure. I don't think there's any recusal issue here, but Mr. Carlucci and I do go to church together, and we've met maybe two times. I don't think I've ever seen him outside of church, mm-hmm. and his son, Joe Carlucci, is my insurance agent. They work for different agencies, so I don't see any conflict there, but I'm happy to recuse my vote if anybody thinks it's so.
What service do you go to?
Usually second.
We go to early service.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
But my thought, I absolutely agree. And what I think is especially troublesome is this isn't something that's coming down from the whole body, right? This isn't the whole Senate and the House voting and saying, Ethics Commission, you guys are going too far, and it's time to rein you in within the discretion we have within the Constitution, right? That's not them. This is the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House saying, we want this authority over, and I think that's especially problematic in my mind.
That's a good observation. I didn't think about that, but that's why I'm here, to collect other thoughts.
To me, it would be akin to what I thought about, and Carl had mentioned this to me. It would be very similar to if a case were pending before the United States Supreme Court and a justice had to go to the Speaker of the House to get approval to hire a new law clerk. Mm-hmm. And the Speaker of the House could say, well, it depends on how you rule on this upcoming case, whether you really need four law clerks, because three seems fine to me.
Well, you just hit the nail
right on the head.
And so that can't be the case. Now, could the whole United States Congress vote and say we're going to cut some funding to the United States Supreme Court? Yes. But that's not what's happening here.
Mr. Hartley?
I agree with that. I'm wholeheartedly in support of that. I think this is way out of bounds. I don't even know how they came up with this. And then to put it in a memo like that just doesn't make sense. So they could have done that. Probably could have done it without ever...
Well, they've been doing it and getting away with it, but they ain't getting away with it this time.
Yeah, they put it in writing and sent it to you. Here, take this. This is what we're doing to you. And that was my mom and dad owned Hartley the Florist for many years.
Oh, okay, so, okay. Now, do you have the printing company?
No. I was a policeman for years, and your dad, okay. I used to see your dad come out. He used to come out and ride all the time.
I used to coach your son?
Yes.
Okay, you know, there's so many Hartleys, you know? Which Hartley
is it? All kinds of disclosures. Okay, all right.
The constitutional amendment that empowered the state ethics commission, what's the breadth of that amendment?
I read it. I don't have it with me, but it's the entire Sunshine Law requiring financial disclosure and lots of things. But the one subsection in the Constitution, Section F, just says there shall be established an independent ethics commission. So it's pretty broad. And the word independent is there. It doesn't say under the jurisdiction of the Florida legislature. Although the budget, was mentioned, if the whole legislature determined that the budget was going to be cut, they have authority over the budget. Mm-hmm. Just like the city council here has authority over the ethics budget. Mm-hmm. But they don't have authority over, the commission hiring your director, Kirby being hired, Deborah being hired, what we do. They don't have jurisdiction over that. And if they started to move in on that, then... this commission would be just as up in arms as the State Ethics Commission is with this.
Thank you. Thank you for filling us in on all of that. I agree that it's very troublesome, especially the part about them hiring, terminating, promoting, paying, having control of the money for the people who work on your team. Help me understand what the workshop is that you're doing on Friday. What's that?
Well, I just kind of pulled it out of the air, to tell you the truth. I thought, how can we address this and address it quickly? And so I thought, well, we'll have a workshop. Because, you know, I knew that I was against it, vehemently against it. But I don't know how my other colleagues are going to feel about it. But as chair, I can make a decision to ignore it or to address it and address it with the body as a whole. So I just came up with the idea of a workshop. And I told Ms. Doss, our executive director, I said, put on the agenda a workshop and spell it out exactly what it's going to be on and make sure that the Senate President's office knows and the House Speaker's House people know and make sure you send all the information out to our commission members because I said, I don't know where everybody will come down on, but it's like I said, I get up and see Ruben ask you one day, and he says, why did you let this go past? Why did you let this go by on your watch and not fight it? Well, I'm going to fight it. And I've got two meetings left, and I might only have two meetings left, but that's two opportunities.
Thank you.
And so thank you for your question.
Carla, is this policy 1.02, is it readily available on the... legislators' webpage or?
I'm sure the Florida House has it posted somewhere.
I mean, because it's stating that or citing that as their authority to do this.
Yeah, it's no authority according to Verlinda Doss. It's the authority of, and I would trust her word on this. If it were anything like that the entire legislature voted on, different. This is the Speaker of the House and the House, the Senate President get together and they take a look at procedural rules, just like our council president has a little committee to get together on hiring and promotion and some of those administrative functions. They get together for this type of thing. And so this year is the first year that not only did they talk about their own legislative staff, but they directed their attention over here. Mm-hmm. But it's only the President of the Senate and the House Speaker. That's it. And they have no established authority to move in and start mm-hmm. changing the constitutional independence of the Ethics Commission. None.
So based upon the consensus
how many commissioners are on your commission?
There's nine.
And are they evenly split between governor and president and speaker?
I think, let's see how my math is. I think there's maybe five by the governor and two and two by the speaker and the president, but I'm not real sure. You know, if you Google up Florida Commission on Ethics, it'll tell you. It'll tell you a little bit about our history, which mm-hmm. will talk about the constitutionality. And there has to be at least a certain number of lay guys on there and members that have been in local government before. So I fit the niche of being in local government before, and I was not a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And then there has to be so many Republicans and so many Democrats. I'm not sure how that works out there. I don't look at it very partisanly. It's a great commission, by the way, just like I'm sure that y'all are in a good functioning group. I mean, we have some, I don't know what'll happen Friday. I have no idea. But I think I'm right. And,
do we have any other feedback?
Just say whatever if we... I'm supportive of a response. I think you can acknowledge that there's still budgetary constraints, you know, mm-hmm. covered by the House and Senate, but you know, the rules of the amendment, you know, are limited to certain areas.
Okay. So, Ms. M, I think that based upon the consensus, what is the strongest thing that we can do? Is the resolution. And then the question that I have is, in the past, has there ever been an instance where a media release was issued as a result of a resolution mm-hmm. that the Ethics Commission issued?
Yes.
And who's responsible for that normally? Or who would handle that?
Usually that's been handled, like if you had a resolution, then it would be handled by our office, you know, to make sure that the press got that and that they knew that there was an issue here and that there was... people that were interested in this being resolved. Mm-hmm. And the Miami Ethics Commission needs to know, and the Palm Beach County Ethics Commission, the Tallahassee Ethics Commission, you know, because if you see, like, with our other Florida legislative work, we're positioning our commission to be the one in the forefront there, knowing about these issues, letting the other ethics commissions know about it, and trying to get some support, because we'll need their support one day, believe me, mm-hmm. we will, and we have in the past. So a resolution would be the strongest.
And that brings up a good point. If you could do a resolution, and if you could do a press release on that, and you could send it to the other, because I'm sure you have all the contacts with the other local ethics commissions, mm-hmm. That would be huge.
Okay.
Because you know why? It's we're right, and we have a good case, and I've notified these folks. I've given them plenty of time to respond. They haven't responded to me. So sometimes you got to kind of, you know, wake the people up a little bit. Nobody's known that. And I have not tried to politicize this thing or try to embarrass anybody over it. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we work for the people. We don't work for, you know, anybody but the people. We have a sacred trust. to citizens.
And I think that that point, honestly, with regard to the structure of the resolution, and of course, we're going to all chime in on that, but I think that one of the primary messages in that needs to be that this is not aligned with what is in the best interest of the people. I think that that kind of trumps everything else. I don't see in any way how it's in the best interest of citizens as it relates to the body being created as a result of the vote of the people. I think is of the utmost importance. Fellow commissioners?
Well, the constitutional hook seems pretty relevant as well.
Right.
You know, it doesn't appear to be constitutional.
Yes, somebody said this sentence, encroaching on the constitutional independence of the State Ethics Commission, which I thought sounded like it would sound good in a resolution.
I don't know that we need to be quite that specific. I think is a statement of support here that the state, it's not even the state legislature, it's not even appropriate to say the state legislature is doing this, right? It's the presiding officers need to respect both the independence of their bodies and also then the independent agencies, just like you wouldn't go out and purport to say something on behalf of us.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, part of the reason that I feel like it's important to give evidence of why we have this position is because I think that this totally lacks evidence. I mean, like, I feel like this directive or whatever it's being referred to as, I don't see where the evidence is that substantiates why these moves were even made. And so I feel like, you know, the former teacher comes out in me, and sometimes, you know, the best way to educate is to do that by example. And so I feel like our response needs to have that kind of meat when we give it, so that it's then not questioned too. Like, you know, we have questions clearly about this. I feel like it reduces the possibility of that happening if we can kind of put that out there up front so nobody wonders what factored into our decisions, if you will.
I mean, to that end, I think probably would make smart sense to read policy 102 someday.
If you can find it.
I tried to just, so I found it. The way that this is created is there's in the rules of the Florida legislature, which is passed, right, by both bodies, it says in there, the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives shall jointly adopt policies they consider advisable to carry out the functions of the legislature. Such policies shall be binding on all employees of joint offices and joint committees. Now, I couldn't actually find the policies, which now this is saying policy 1.02. Mm-hmm. So basically the Florida legislature said, Speaker and President, you may create policies to make this happen. And they went and created those policies. I couldn't find those policies. And then pursuant to one of those policies I couldn't find, they've issued this directive.
Well, it's not law. I don't know where you find it, but if I may, Madam Chair, what I think they do is they give these delegations to entities that were not really created by law. Mm-hmm. They're kind of intramural organizations between the House and the Senate. And then they pass out these delegations, and then they reach out and grab us and try to pull us into it. But we're not one of their entities.
Right. So with that being the case, are those major components enough to substantiate the resolution itself?
Right. I mean, I think it can be general, like the, I just jotted down a few notes. I see Kirby is too, that the Jacksonville Ethics Commission supports the independence of the State Ethics Commission and as indicated in Article 2 of the Constitution of Florida. We'll get the exact section of Florida. And states that policy 1.02, the joint delegation, impedes the independence of the State Ethics Commission, or however you want to put that. I mean,
simple enough.
Just impedes the independence,
and
destroys the public trust, or something. Well, with your point on citizen is not aligned with the best interests of Florida citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Was specific reference to this March 21 memo as well.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the application of that.
I would throw a little, this is not in the best interest of the citizens of the state of Florida.
And with that, okay, so we have three concepts: that we support the independence of the State Ethics Commission as in the Constitution. Number two, that the policy 1.02, the joint delegation, as referenced in the March 21st memo impedes the independence of the Ethics Commission and is not aligned with the best interests of Florida citizens.
I don't know that I'd want to opine about Policy 1.02, which we've never seen.
Right.
Right. It's the delegation of authority dated March 21st, 2017 that impedes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
They're citing it. We don't know if that applies or not.
That's right. Whatever they're citing, it doesn't matter. What matters is that this delegation of authority impedes the independence and is against the interests of Florida citizens.
Well, the other thing, too, I'll let the lawyers figure this out, if this is correct to put in there or not. But
see, now you can tell who the lawyers are, can't you?
Well, you know, you thank God for them, and sometimes you just say, Daddy, I don't agree with you. I'm a business guy. But there's an inherent conflict in this of interest with this. Mm-hmm. And that's what really... Mm-hmm. That's my biggest issue with it, is I think about...
I work a sentence in on that.
I would work a sentence in on it. It's an inherent conflict of interest for them to control the raises and the bonuses that we get over the very people who might have to investigate people in their body.
Mm-hmm.
And the people our investigators have a fiduciary duty to do what they... I've been around enough of these lawyers to know what fiduciary means. They have a fiduciary duty do exactly what they think, and they shouldn't have a cloud hanging over them that says, "Well, if I really do what I think is right here, it may wind up, you know, costing me in terms of my career, my status, where I want to go to from here."
Right. Okay. So, can we craft that eloquently? So?
Yep, I'm working on it.
Okay.
Can we?
And then, do we actually need a formal motion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so.
I can read it to you, and if you just give me like
sure.
a few minutes.
No, that's fine.
Do we have to give a public participation before we vote on that?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yes, public comment.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I would recommend that you do make your motion, second, and then before you vote, allow the public to come up and make any comments. Yes.
Okay, how about this? And we can like slightly make the words sound smoother. Kirby is good at that. The Jacksonville Ethics Commission supports the independence of the Florida Ethics Commission as stated in the Constitution, right section, and states that the delegation of authority issued by Senate President Joe Negron and House Speaker Richard Corcoran issued on March 21st, 2017, the delegation of authority impedes the independence of the State Ethics Commission and creates conflicts of interest and is not aligned with the best interests of Florida citizens.
In addition to the best interest, I mean, that's subjective, but and I'm not a lawyer, but the Constitution indicates that this body should be independent.
I don't have any problem adding constitutional independence as an adjective to describe the independence that was designated. You know,
add constitutional to
that,
and I think
that's a good
idea.
That is helpful.
So, what do you like in the last sentence? Not aligned with the best interests of for and erodes the people's will in putting that in the Constitution to begin with.
I think what Brian said is good. I mean, it erodes the constitutional independence of the Florida Ethics Commission.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Erodes the constitution.
Erodes or just violates? You know, erodes implies that...
It could
implies either of this.
Actually, you should have been a lawyer.
This is actually...
And violates.
Erodes and violates?
Yeah.
I don't know if we need both of them. I feel like we need to choose the stronger of the... Because it's
violates.
Almost a matter of undermining, I think, also.
Dr. Candler is, I think, just professored us over here about this. That it either violates or erodes, and here it violates. Because right? Those have two different meanings.
Yeah.
This violates.
A slow period of time is erodes. This is,
this is a violation. This is a rape.
Yeah, and they're writing it down, telling you they're going to do it.
Okay, how about this for the last sentence? We talked about impedes the independence of the Ethics Commission and creates conflicts of interest. It is not aligned with the best interests of Florida citizens, and violates the constitutional independence of the Ethics Commission.
So moved.
Very good.
Okay.
And does the resolution have to have a, and so we recommend X, or that's
no.
enough just to say that?
No, that's enough.
Second.
We had a motion.
Where's
second?
The motion?
Yeah, where is the motion?
I thought that was just it.
Okay. Would you like to offer some public comment at this time based upon this very robust discussion? Public comment on this issue?
I'm just taking it all in. I'm for where you're going with it. That's
okay.
All I can say.
Very good.
Okay. I don't like. I'm in line with Mr. Carlucci and what Carla said about maintaining the independence from the apparent is an attempt to seize power the way it seems by the president and the speaker of the house. Seizing the power.
Thank you, Mr. Michael.
It could be a mistake, oversight. That this is an unusual public body that does have a constitutional independence, just for the record. Yes.
So we're ready to vote?
Yes.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
I'll get this typed up and send it to the other Ethics Commissions, local Ethics Commissions, and send it to Matt Carlucci tomorrow so he can be the champion at the state level.
Thank you very
and
much. I really, really appreciate it. I know I've taken up half your time.
It's okay. Is it possible for us to send anything to the media?
Oh, yeah.
Or, okay.
You want me to get it out?
Definitely. Particularly the Tallahassee Democrat, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. And what's the political, the safe... It's the one for like the whole state. They do the updates every day for media.
Well, Matt, you know some people that you can think
there's
of.
There's Florida Politics. It's a blog.
Well, I think I would send it to, do y'all have just like a general press release that you do?
We do, and I'll get with you tomorrow, and you
maybe
can maybe
Tia
think
Mitchell?
Of some ideas, and I'll get with Matt tomorrow.
That'll be good. So at least that way we can kind of help, and I think that that will help to give it some additional attention outside of.
Okay. Well, I can't thank y'all enough. Are you going to be on your cell phone? Is that the best number to call yet? Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Well, thank y'all very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
You, Matt.
Okay.
Do you really need to
I'll see you at church, maybe.
I'll
be leaving.
I got it.
Okay. All right. So, with that, we are going to jump into our minutes approval for February 13th, March 2nd, and March 13th. Do we have to do each one individually? Or
yes,
we do have to do each one individually. Okay. Has everyone had an opportunity to review?
Not March 2nd.
Madam Chair, there's one thing on the February 13th, 2017.
Yes, sir.
Our commissioner, who is not present tonight, voted against my motion. So the motion to send this, to reopen this for a vote, was approved 7-1, not 8-0.
Where are you in the... Where are you?
Button here. Had it lost. So it's on the second page of those minutes, one, two, three, the third full paragraph down. Vote was taken and the Ethics Commission members unanimously decided to reopen. It was actually a 7-1 vote to reopen. Ms. Jean Hart voted against that motion.
Okay. Do we have that noted? Correction.
That was on February 13, 2017.
Joe, where is that? I apologize. I'm trying to catch up.
Steve, February 13th.
Yes.
Second page, third full paragraph, starts with Ms. Allen stated. The last sentence of that. Vote
yes.
was taken, and the Ethics Commission members voted 7-1
yeah.
to reopen.
You're right. Apologize.
Any other points of correction or observation for the February 13th Ethics Commission meeting minutes. Okay, is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion that we approve with the correction that was stated.
Thank you. Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? All right, and the March 2nd nominating committee meeting minutes. Are there any corrections or observations for those changes?
Make a motion that we approve.
Thank you, Ms. Harley. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? And the March 13th Ethics Commission meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second it then.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right, great. Okay, so we've already heard from Mr. Carlucci. We're going to jump into our reports. Sim? Echo office?
Yes, two things. The State Ethics Commission, in addition to handling this Friday, has two opinions that they're going to be issuing for Jacksonville. And one is on Leslie Scott Bart and John Bart, and saying that she does not have a conflict of interest. She can serve on the Ethics Commission, which is good. So that's one opinion that we expect them to adopt. The other one is we ask them whether or not this Ethics Commission had to file financial disclosure, which you're doing anyhow, but there's always been a dispute. Yes, you have to. No, you don't. Yes, you have to. Anyhow, so we sent that up, and they said, yes, you do. So, but we've been doing it anyhow, so no big deal. So those are the two opinions that are going to be coming out this Friday, and when they get issued by the State Ethics Commission, I'll send them to you so you can read them. The second thing is just an announcement. This is good news. I'm excited. There is a group called the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD. It's an international organization. The United States is a member country of OECD, and they work with different economies in the world to bolster the economy and with various programs, and they're based in Paris, France. They're working on a project with the European Union to do something with the economy of Greece, which
that is good.
Is a big project. But one of those, one of the goals is to work on anti-corruption. And so they're developing an anti-corruption program for Greece, and now they want to get into all the local communities to develop anti-corruption programs. So I'm going to go to Greece.
Love
and,
you.
and to work with OECD and establishing a template for mayors in Athens, Greece, and all of the little municipalities in Greece. You know, so I'm very excited about it. It'll be the third week of June for about 2 days, and might add a 2 or 3 days and do some sightseeing while I'm over there. But I'm excited about it, which means I'll be flat out studying everything I can get my hands on to prepare for that. So hopefully, every time I have to pump up and do something like that, there's a residual. Like, I learned stuff that, you know, I can do here in Jacksonville. So, anyhow, I'm excited because I'm going to Greece.
I'm good. Yeah.
That's great.
That's all I have.
Represent well.
Yeah.
What was the OECD? What did it all stand for?
Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD.
All right. Thank you, Ms. M. Pollock, OGC?
No report at this time. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. And committee reports.
The last meeting, we went over our strategic goals, and we revised goal number 3 to include the promote a healthy speak up culture and government. We kind of put that on hold because the mayor and city council president are dealing with the pension right now, and we will address that when that is put to bed. Mm-hmm. So today we went over the Ethic Commission complaint procedures, and Joe's working on some changes and some revisions, and hopefully by the end of the year we'll have something to bring to the whole commission to vote on.
Thank you. Internal ops?
Nothing to report other than we tried desperately to get a meeting together and calendars didn't work, but now that I will say that looking at some of the information on the strategic plans, we're moving in the right direction for revising them, which is really the ultimate goal for the first half of the year, first 4 months of the year.
Legislative?
So we've made some revisions to the prior set goals for the legislative committee, and a lot of that had to do with narrowing our focus. and also slightly revising timelines or adding concrete timelines to when we could accomplish some of these goals. Aside from our reoccurring efforts to identify local ethics laws that need to be changed or amended, we've kind of divided to conquer this goal of rewriting Part 4 of the Ethics Code on conflicts of interest. Our subcommittee is going to focus on rewriting 602.401 and 602.402 with generous assistance from the Ethics Office and OGC for the remaining provisions of 602.403 to 602.412 with their input and suggestions. We think we'll be able to make some headway on that. This is a very big project, and we're hoping that we can finalize it over the next two-year period. With respect to potential campaign ethics violations and whether or not the ethics code should include that, that is something we think we can tackle this year by the fall of this year. We've removed the whistleblower section from our goals as that's been addressed, and we revised the timeline for the lobbying section of the ethics code. We're going to drill down on that and review whether or not we should decriminalize lobbying violations and make it a civil penalty by spring of 2018.
Thank you. Open government?
It's Leslie's committee.
Oh, okay. Is there anybody who's on that committee that wants to comment or just able?
Thank you, Sam.
Nothing new.
Okay. Old business. Update on ordinance 2017-160 regarding public comment at city council meetings.
The update on that is you've been sent that information. The council took into consideration our concerns, and now they have a whole new tech way of getting that home address that doesn't announce it to her. So good win. We kept that at bay.
Well, that hasn't quite been adopted by the full council yet. It's been re-referred to rules, that whole bill, because there were concerns raised by the council as a whole about the provision in the bill that would allow the city council president to provide less than 3 minutes time for public comment. Mm-hmm. So that rule, that bill will be back on discussion before rules tomorrow at its meeting.
But they didn't have any comments on the substance that we were concerned with.
Right.
Whether it's 3 minutes or 2 minutes, you know, that's up to the chair. But our particular thing of trying to preserve the privacy of people that address the council, they were in favor of.
Madam Chair, if I could just note on that, it was really amazing to me to see how the full council really appreciated and was interested in both the Ethics Office and the Ethics Commission's input here. I know, at least personally, I was in person at the Rules Committee meeting for this and was very discouraged by how much they didn't seem to care of what either Carla or Kirby or us thought about this issue. And then when it went to the full council, it was clear that the full council really wanted to know what the issue was and sent it back to rules for that purpose. So I think that the Ethics Office, especially Kirby and Carly, and Kirby in particular, spoke at that Ethics Commission meeting, and I just thought she did a fantastic job and was successful and got the at least the council president to send this back to rules.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Kirby. All right. Update on state legislation, Senate Bill 80.
So we have been sending all the information to you as it's been happening, so I don't want to go over it in depth, but Senate Bill 80 is proceeding on for a vote, and they have worked into consideration, I think, our resolution that we sent over there, and also the First Amendment Foundation, so that's going well. Senate Bill 914, to add anything, do you have anything?
I do.
Okay.
So on Senate Bill 80, just to sort of delve in a little bit more, it passed the Senate with the compromise between the First Amendment Foundation and the Florida League of Cities, retaining the mandatory attorney fee provision, but allowing for the judge to take into consideration whether it was for abuse or frivolous or harassment and to not award fees. So that's part of that. That passed the Senate, and it's on the House special calendar order for this week to be heard on the House session. So it looks like it's poised to pass with that change to it. And then on 914, that is Senate bill relating to public meetings and when you can do fact-finding, or when members of a board or commission can engage in fact-finding, and that is on the committee agenda and community affairs in the Senate. It appears that there is no House companion to it as of now. That was 914. Then House Bills 843 and Senate Bill 1004 that would change the Sunshine Law to apply to three or more members of a board or commission instead of two or more. That would be quite a dramatic change. And the change was predicated on making it consistent with what the legislature does. But that has not been moved in the Senate. It has stalled out in committees in the Senate. And it passed some of the committees in the House and is now in the House Governmental Accountability. But it's staying there, and there's no movement on it this week. And we're winding down to the end of the session, so it looks like it may not pass. And then the last one, House Bill 7021 would create a statewide lobbyist registration database to be implemented by the State Ethics Commission. So there'd be consistency among lobbyists, and so instead of them having to register independently in each of the different counties in Florida, over 60 counties in Florida, they would have this one main database. And there's no hearing on it in House, but it's passed. It passed the House actually, but there's no movement on it right now in the Senate. It looks like. So.
Thank you. Update on selection of the new IG.
It's been done thanks to Yolanda being on the.
Finally.
Yes.
And Yolanda did a great job. She spoke up at every juncture of it. And James Hoffman will be our new IG. He's coming in June 1st. And General Counsel and I are going to be meeting with him and bringing him up to speed. But great guy. Naval Academy, William & Mary Law School, and Georgetown for a master's in national security. So he's going to be great, I think.
And good he was job, our original choice before who couldn't make the commitment because of the time with the Navy and the conflict. So, of course, remember, we had to go through the whole process again. And we had some really, very, very talented candidates. Mm-hmm. But I think overall he was truly the best fit for us and our needs here. So I'm really excited about him. All right, revision of the strategic plan.
That just needs to be updated. You all have worked on your individual strategic plan, so we're going to just adjust the main one and then send it over to your committee and can chew on a little bit. But I think we're 99% of the way there, so we'll just get that to you in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. New business, Ethics Commission presentation to City Council Rules Committee on tomorrow.
Yeah, that's Yolanda and I are in front of the Rules Committee. You are all invited. I think Georgie said you could come for that.
Should be able to.
The Rules Committee starts at 1. They appoint people. They take up different matters. Right after that, they go into this. So I think it's safe that if anyone wants to come, 1:30 is the time. And, of course, you can always, if you can't come, you can stream it at your offices. Yolanda and I will be making a presentation, and then the Rules Committee members can ask whatever they want about the purpose of this commission, about the effectiveness. They have really kind of scrutinized the True Commission. Remember, our joint meeting last year with the True Commission is not in good shape. They're having continuing meetings on sunsetting the True Commission. I don't think we'll run into that quagmire, but we'll see tomorrow. And if anyone can argue the case for commission, it's Yolanda. So, and I'll give a little bit of the history and purpose. So we will do our very best so that we're not abolished.
Full confidence in y'all.
Yeah. Thank you.
Carmen, I want to know if I attend, will there be an opportunity for public comment?
That's interesting. They don't typically, of course.
I was going to say they don't have to.
We could ask the chair. Do you want to make a comment?
If I'm going to go,
make a comment?
Somewhere in the 20-30 minute range now.
I'll bring the PowerPoint.
It's only 50 slides.
They've got a lot of appointments and they're taking up that bill public comment that we just talked about. You know, it could go fast, it could go slow. There's no way. I always bring something to read or do when I'm there, but it could start at 2, it could start at 2:30.
It has to start by 3:15.
Has to start by 3:15.
Well, that's promising.
Somewhere between 1 and 3:15.
2 o'clock would be probably safe. And what I can do is if you fill out a speaker card, one of the blue speaker cards, I'll give it to the chair and just say that you want to make a comment in our little section where we're talking about it.
I might just pass. I technically have office hours at that time. It's potentially going to drag out. I've got a class at 6 as well, so.
It's a good short stop.
I'm going to play it safe. Then.
Is anybody else planning to come tomorrow?
I can go. I'm available if you think it's helpful.
You know what? I think what we can indicate is that you will all be watching streaming on your computers, and we're very interested in Ioannis representing us. And of course, Ellen, you'll be there because you have to be there for your appointment
tomorrow.
That's
right. I'll be there.
So, and I've watched the other commissions. They don't have like the whole commission sitting there. They have like one or two people, maybe. You know, so. Jared, can you come down and like sit with us?
Yeah,
and Kirby, I mean, we'll have a critical mass.
You're going to have your cell phone, right? We can just call you on your cell phone, right?
That's right. And I can hold it up.
Book stream it live.
I say that we should go through pretty smoothly. If there's any problem in follow-up meetings where we're getting any kind of concern, then we all show up. But tomorrow, let's let Ioanna and like from Ioanna all around here to Kirby. This little group will be our representation.
All the women, all the women.
That's right.
Joe, if you want to come, I mean, really, but I don't think it's necessary. I
would like for Joe to come.
You would?
Yes.
I'll be there.
And you want George to come?
Well, if it's not a conflict with the office hours and stuff. I just think it's important for them to see the visibility of our
All I would like to have said was that, you know, it amazed me when I got here and I heard all the, well, I'll try to make this short, but I got here and I heard about this crazy woman, Carla Miller, who was always doing this ethics stuff, and I said to myself, she ain't going to last long. And then, A, they made her permanent. B, they gave her a decent salary. C, they expanded the ethics office. D, they brought in an inspector general. And this was the city council that did this. And it is, you know, small town America, small city America has a reputation for the council does not want oversight to prevent corruption. And it really is extraordinary the support that council has given to this process in my 7 years here. And I think I was able to get that out in like 60 seconds. If you want to
nice.
Ask that.
Nice.
Now that process really is, it really is bold, quite frankly. We talk about the bold new city of the South. This is one of a handful of things we've done that really, truly is bold in terms of the city council, you know, bringing in independent eyes to oversee itself and the whole city government. It really is pretty extraordinary.
You know, what you said, George, is significant because I actually thought that same thing, that we are one of, really, the only commission I know of in the country where the city council has voted it all in.
Often not unanimously by any means. But, you know,
most of the things were even unanimous, and to put it on the ballot for the Inspector General's office and unanimously vote for that. And I actually wanted to say something about that in the beginning, that this commission spoke about it tonight, and that we wanted to thank the City Council for their support over the last several years and putting together a really strong oversight anti-corruption initiative for the city. And I'll start with that and say that that sentiment was first voiced by you as the head of the program at UNF, and that, you know, you have a certainly the position in which you can comment on that type of thing. But then, I think that most of the entire commission agrees with that we owe thanks to the city council for putting us here, keeping us here, expanding the office. Okay, I'll start with that.
Okay.
I'll pretend I'm you, George.
A little more, yeah.
60 seconds.
Application of Jacksonville Ethics Code Part 8 to lobbyists or lawyers.
Mr. Reagan asked that.
Yeah, I think this was mine from three or four meetings ago. I'll just very in 30 seconds outline the issue and then request that you refer it to legislative.
Okay.
The issue really is there are lobbyists and lawyers in town who believe that the attorney-client privilege that lawyers have with their clients overrides the obligation you have to register as a lobbyist. This is something that's been taken up at the state level. The State Ethics Commission has been dealing with this right now, and so is the Florida Bar, and deciding what actually does this mean. So you are not allowed to disclose, unless you represent them in a public lawsuit. I can't disclose that I represent a client unless they authorize me to. Pre-suit. Once it's in a lawsuit, it's a public record, but pre-suit. I can't say I'm advising so-and-so on their obligations regarding X. But what happens if a city ordinance says you have to? So if I have a client, I have not filed a lawsuit, and the client says, I need help getting, not me, right, because I'm a member of this commission, so I couldn't, but a colleague of mine who's representing a client who says, I need help in getting some office in the city to do X. So that lawyer is representing their legal interests and going and essentially lobbying, right? So their rules, their obligation, their ethical rules to the Florida Bar prohibit them from telling anybody about who they represent, but the city ordinance requires them to register their clients under disclosure rules. So the state's trying to pick this up right now, and we should be, you know, on board with that too, and making sure that we're following what the Florida Ethics Commission is doing at the legislative committee level. And if the Florida Ethics Commission or Florida Legislature takes this up in some way, to make sure that we're doing the same thing, or at least that we're considering the same issue.
Okay.
So how about the Florida Bar had a regulation on that? Didn't they, 7-8 years ago, they had the opinion that the attorneys representing people did have to disclose their clients?
So several years ago, they said that they issued that opinion, but it was still unclear about how this actually applies in practice. Mm-hmm. And just last year, at the end of last year, November or December, the Florida Bar issued an opinion that said, if your client will not authorize you to disclose, to comply, mm-hmm. then you have to withdraw
right.
from representation. Mm-hmm. And that's monumental, really. It's to lawyers who do land use, for example. That's monumental to land use lawyers and to a lot of lobbyists in town. Mm-hmm. So we should see, and I don't know, what is the application of that to our own ordinances that require registration. Mm-hmm. How would that apply to to the lawyers that are in that position?
We should track what Florida does at the state level.
So
good point.
So per your request, we'll refer that to the legislative for further review. All right, public comment. Do you have any public comment?
I have a couple of things I wanted to. I didn't know about this this new subcommittee that's been added, this complaint committee. There's a little mirth that goes with this because in 2011, when the new Ethics Commission Code and Commission finally got voted through, it was battered about for about 8 or 9 months before it was fully implemented because of misunderstandings about the fact that the Ethics Commission was supposed to announce that they were, in January, in the new administration, they were also implementing the new Independent Ethics Commission and Ethics Office, and Ms. Miller was many months trying to get proper funding and proper understanding of who was running commission. But in March, I came in and decided to try and utilize this newfound authority that we were finally going to have to try and penetrate my ongoing questions with the ranking highest level of bureaucracy that I always describe as being diamond hard and impenetrable. And I was trying to broach the idea of an ongoing problem I've had for 10 years. It was about 4 years old at that point, naively thinking that the statute of limitations had been written the way I thought it had been written to reflect the Florida statutes, and that we would have 5 years to start filing these complaints. And the then chair reprimanded me that I need to go back and reread what I helped craft because it didn't say what I thought it said. But he went on to add an addendum. After that reprimand, he went on in castigation. He went on to note that he hoped that the public did not get the idea that this was supposed to be the complaint department. And it was interesting because Rhonda People's Waters and I had done a lot of the pushing of the things like transparency and due process areas of oversight when the code was written. And Rhonda People's Waters piped up and said, if they can't come here and voice a complaint after all these years without having any place to go, where they're supposed to be able to go to. And he just, it just flummoxed him. He did not, as I remember, he did not proceed to say any more. But it was an interesting question because, you know, to come in here with a complaint under the ethics code and then be told this is not the not the complaint department was somewhat humorous. But the other thing I wanted to note was the selection of Mr. Hoffman as the Inspector General. I have been the public, the one member of the public who has been to every one of these meetings in the last year observing this entire process of trying to properly implement the proper person for this. This is a position that requires somebody with a very special temperament as opposed to the credentialing that the former selection had, which is like overkill. But I think Mr. Hoffman impressed everybody. I did not hear him say this time what I heard him say in September when he interviewed the first time that really drew attention, and that was when he was asked what he thought that his primary goal would be if he were selected. The first thing out of his mouth was to reach out and build a consensus with the public and the public trust. And I thought, what a breakthrough with the way this city has done. I'm a member of a five-generation family in this county, and if you're not part of the good old boy system when it comes to getting to that level that I'm talking about trying to penetrate, you're not going to get anywhere. And if he really follows through with what he said in September, I am 100% behind this selection. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Markle. Appreciate that. Okay, announcements, housekeeping, action items, and setting date and time for next meeting and training.
I'll announce that we can set the meeting, the next meeting.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
Sorry,
I didn't hear you. What's that?
So I'll announce we can schedule the next meeting.
Oh, okay. All right. So, Ms. M, with regard to the summer months, here to make an executive decision as chair here, we're not required to meet every month. Are we, as a whole body?
The code says you have to meet quarterly. You have to have 3 meetings a year.
Okay. So, team, as we move into the summer months,
my
I know
math is awful.
I know that we're getting into vacations and all of that stuff. So, what would you like to? I am prepared to perhaps not have a formal meeting in May. And to give the subcommittees an opportunity to meet.
Am I misunderstanding?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Our new member has made a very good point here,
I was told to read this.
This is good, because you have to be fresh on these things, you forget them. Our internal operating procedures say that we meet at least monthly, but you can waive the internal operating procedures. We should change that to be consistent with what the new code provision is. Because that used to be the old code provision that was changed. So we just need to change it. And we can waive, let's see, a majority of the members present. What does it say about the waiver?
You can waive your own internal operating
procedures. Yeah, you can waive them. So we would need a motion, second, and waive the internal operating procedures. As to the need for monthly meetings to correspond with the Chapter 50 of the Code.
So you want just a general waiver, not one just limited to when we don't want to meet?
Just waive it for now.
You can just waive it for whatever you want as proposed.
Summer months, is that what you want?
Yeah, because there isn't really anything majorly pressing, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. I don't like this idea of meeting just for the sake of meeting, even though I love seeing all of your very handsome and beautiful faces. I don't think I don't want to exhaust us in that way if there's really nothing for us to actually be productive about when we're here. And so with regard to that, we're going to take a little break. And so can I move that we, or can I suggest that we not have a formal meeting in May or June, and to give the subcommittees an opportunity to kind of, at your leisure, and that gives you, I know that you mentioned even some scheduling challenges with your group, so hopefully that two-month window will allow for that to happen, and to kind of come together, and then we will, I'm sorry, what was
nothing,
that?
Nothing. I have a little comment about going to Greece from Jerry.
Oh, okay. So we can, if we could do that, May and June, and then maybe reconvene July, August.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why that might be a good idea, because the subcommittees, like legislative, really has some stuff to chew on, mm-hmm. not to mention complaints on drafting the complaint procedures. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's enough to chew on without us getting together, and I think the Florida legislature, thank God, is almost out of session, and we don't have to deal with any of that stuff. If there was anything urgent that we needed to convene the group, we can just do that with a week's notice and get everybody together if anything changes. But you'll see with the change in city council leadership that things get a little quiet around now, and then we have a very big training to do of all the city council people the second week of June. So it's a good time. Plus, I need to grab the three new members and do a separate training session for them and really bring them up to speed. So I think for all those reasons, it would be workable. But I swear, if there's any issue that rises to the level where we all need to come together, we can call a meeting pretty quickly.
Okay. So I'm going to propose Monday, August 21st for our next formal meeting.
Okay.
So is no, that gonna
no
be
meeting in July? Yes.
No.
Okay.
All right. And is it at 5 o'clock?
Yes.
Here. Okay.
On the 21st at 5? Does that work? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, Ms. M., with regard to the date for the training for our newbies?
We'll arrange it later.
Okay, great. Is everybody okay with that?
Do we need to make a motion? And
yeah, on the vote? Waiver you do.
Waiver.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That you waive in the internal rules.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we waive the internal rules.
Which required you to meet monthly.
That requires us to meet monthly to so be in accordance with code 50.
Chapter 50
chapter,
of the code.
Right.
Chapter 50 of the
That's
code.
Good.
Yeah.
And good for Ellen for spotting that as a new member.
And then, of course, the expectation that the subcommittees at some point during that window do get together and be prepared to report.
We have a motion.
We need a second.
Yeah, we need a second.
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 Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye. Oh,
yeah.
So legislative and complaints.
I'm not going to be able to stand for it.
All right. So, if there's
7-2.
Nothing else.
5-2.
5-2.
We are adjourned at 6:38 p.m.
Yes. We have a shade
meeting. Oh, wait. No, we have a shade meeting. Very short.
Very short.
Okay. So, but this meeting is officially over.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
And everybody stays for shade.
Yeah. And we'll just stop.